time for Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, and we're at your noon hour talking about local topics, local individuals, local institutions, as we say. We have one representative here today to talk about one of our most important institutions in our community, our school district. We've got with us Kathy Goss. She's a school board member, actually citizen extraordinaire, been here forever. Welcome, Kathy.
I have been here forever.
Good to hear. So, Kathy, we're going to introduce you to the listener a little bit in case they're not familiar with all the service you've had in the community and actually what kind of background you have that brought you to serving on the local school board. So we're talking about 24J, Salem Kaiser Schools, lots going on. There's some things in the news right now, but there's also things that have happened and are in the works that the public should be aware of.
Good.
So, but let's talk about you. Let's talk about Kathy. So what kind of educational background do you have?
I've got a doctorate in education administration from Portland State.
Wow. Educational administration. Mm-hmm. Do you find that people are surprised to learn that?
Yes.
Because people think about you and what you do in your career now, right?
Right.
So what did you do with that doctorate?
Well, I was with Salem Kaiser for about 10, 12 years, and I was out at Hayesville, and I was a team leader. And then I went back and got my doctorate and moved into administration, and I was in charge of special education and counselors throughout the district.
Wow.
And then I moved up to Little Detroit and was superintendent and principal up there for a few years.
Wow. So you have been around a few different topics.
Around.
All right. As far as education, yeah. And because right now I think in terms of you and your husband and the business that you own, right? You want to tell us about that?
Well, that's Capital Valuation. And we are a commercial appraisal office. That means we value commercial properties and buildings and have done that for a while.
Well, it helps to have experience in that, I'm going to tell you, because there's so many different types. We had Kurt Arthur on a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, there's office and there's industrial and there's farm. You know, there's retail and all these mm-hmm. different kinds of commercial. And they're all somewhat unique. So how many years of experience might you and Dar have in that?
Oh, gosh, Dar has probably 30 years, and he's right. retired out of the Air Force, so he's not a young pup, you can tell that. But he still runs our company, and we specialize in farms, large building, do a lot of vineyards, and that sort of thing.
All right, so Dave, this is not the person that comes and appraises your home when you refi and gets a $400 appraiser for the house that's, you know, refining and turning over.
That's
at all.
That's always good to know.
Totally different beast,
yeah.
Right?
It is.
So, all right, and some public service. Of course, I know you've done enough in service in town that you and your husband were named kind of co-joint first citizens by the Salem Area Chamber, right?
We were.
Years ago. So they don't hand those things out willy-nilly. You served on the State Fair Board.
Yes.
You've helped with CASA,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, I have.
Tell us about those experiences.
Well, Citizens Review Board is where I ended up with from CASA. And that's a group of local citizens that are appointed by the governor. And we kind of are the watchdog for DHS. And so we help with children that have been removed from the homes, making sure that they get all the things they're entitled to by the state when they've been removed.
We're talking to Kathy Goss. Welcome again to Newsmakers at 14:30 at the noon hour. We're going to talk about education and Salem Kaiser here. I just wanted to introduce you a little bit to Kathy and some of the things that she's done to give you a kind of broad overview of how much community service and involvement in educational history she has to deserve this volunteer role that she has in the school district, where you get to give away all of your skills and talents for free.
Yeah, something like that.
And you did run for office prior to this. You ran for House District 20.
I did.
So
and
that's mostly West Salem, Polk County.
West Salem, some of South Salem, and it was quite a challenge.
Yes.
And I lost that by something like 317 net votes.
Doesn't that drive you crazy when you look at those votes and you wonder who'd stayed home? Who didn't have a stamp that day, I mean, that's not that bad. What are you talking about?
What could I have done 30, more?
You that's know?
30,000 yeah. people, and it's like,
how many more doors could I have knocked on?
Yeah. Or more presentations
Can
I could have
Can I take your
given,
ballot in
or,
for you?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's well, what happened recently, right? Didn't that happen in Orange County?
Yes.
Okay.
Despite what anybody says, I can assure you it stings when it goes down.
I'm sure, yeah.
All right, let's talk a little about school district. So
sure.
you joined the school board. How many members and when did you join?
So there's 7 members on our school board, and I joined in July of 16.
Okay, wow. All right, year
or
and a half.
17.
That would be a year and a half from 17. Okay.
Yeah, and I was elected board chair. This last July.
Okay, congratulations.
Which was a real challenge.
Did you want to be
me.
Chair? Is that one of those, she's not here, we're going to put her in there?
No, actually. I worked hard for it because I joined school board because I had some changes I wanted to make.
Okay, so changes she wants to make. We're going to talk during the hour about the bond measure and what that's going to pay for. We're going to talk about the conflict and Kaiser with St. Edward's and property that both people want. Absenteeism is a big topic. How things are financed is a big topic. The report card, some other things. So what do you want to dive in first? I'd like to dive in, actually, with the bond measure that passed. It was enormous.
It was enormous.
It was enormous. Over $600 million, but we don't get any new school buildings out of it. Well, let me take that back. We don't get any brand new schools.
No brand new schools where we are just building one from ground up. We have lots of redos to school. Some of them is retrofitted for in case the big one happens to mm-hmm. come. We need to retrofit older schools to get kids out if we have to. There's new technology everywhere. We need to meet that. And frankly, we have some seriously overcrowded areas. Now, the board looked carefully at that and decided the best way for the community to look at that was to let high school attendance move up to 2,200 per high school.
Wow.
It is so expensive to build a new high school.
Yeah.
We're looking at $250 million.
Ouch.
That's
yes.
incredible. So 10 years ago, we passed a bond measure, and at the time, it was the largest school bond measure in the state's history. It was larger than anything Portland had passed, and it was 245-ish million, right?
Something like that.
So, but out of that 245, we got West Salem High School, right?
Yep.
And we got a middle school, I believe, also in West Salem. We got a yep. few elementary schools. Plus, there was a huge chunk for deferred maintenance for
Absolutely.
Schools that needed new HVAC systems, new mm-hmm. alarm systems, new windows, new roofs,
all sorts windows, of things. All kinds of
ton,
things.
A ton of projects. Little under $250 million, right? Now, Kathy's telling us that it's $250 million to build a high school from ground up just 10 years later.
Well, right now in particular, is really high. We've got building costs going through the roof in this part of the country.
Yeah.
And we're also looking at things that we haven't done for 10 years. And
that's
we've
a lot,
had a
probably.
Lot, yeah, we've got a big influence, and we have lots of kids coming into town, parents, families. We have new buildings going in, new homes, and those all produce more problems for us. We've got to accommodate everyone in public school.
So back to the high schools and the quantity. McKay is already over 2,000.
It is. It's over 2,000, and it was built for 1,800. So it's one of our major problems right now. Not a problem as a school or kids, but of size. And, you know, they each have to have a chair and a desk to sit in and a room to be in. And we're having trouble with that. So that's led to us trying to reapportion and change our boundaries.
Okay, and that's a whole other topic. But staying on this just for a second, are we building more capacity at existing school sites? Like
yes.
Will McKay get a new classroom kind of added onto the existing facility?
McKay in particular is going to come into the end of balance with boundary changes. But in many other schools, we are building capacities and in our high schools as well.
Do you know, I hate to ask people questions when we're having a conversation about numbers, but do you know about how many the elementary schools and the middle schools are supposed to accommodate?
Well, it depends on the school. They're entirely different.
Huh?
And some accommodate more than others. It depends on what was required during the years that we built them. And we have lots of older schools.
Yeah.
And they vary by size, and they vary, for example, in how much we have to do to retrofit them.
So one of my friends who works in a South Salem elementary school, and they're talking about adding 200 because of the growth in the area, adding 200 to an existing elementary school as a percentage, that's got to be enormous. How do you do that?
Well, you have to figure out a way, because they're standing there with their lunch pails, yeah. And they want a place to be.
Are we talking more out buildings, like trailers and things like that for classrooms?
No, we're actually, those module classrooms just don't last as long as a wood stick building. So we're having to replace those. We have some of them well past 20 years old, and that's what their life is supposed to be. So part of this also will go by expansion, and we're trying to wipe out as many of those as we possibly can. They're difficult to operate. They're
sure.
outside the building. Mm-hmm. The kids have to go out in the weather, and they just aren't quite what a stick-built building would be.
Sure. So 20 years for a modular, temporary building is not too bad.
That isn't bad. That's pretty good, actually.
And we've used them in Salem, needless to say.
I bet.
We're talking to Kathy Goss, a school board member, and about the bond measure that passed. And there's so many other subjects to talk to you about in terms of absenteeism and graduation rate and so forth. So we're going to come back here and tackle some of those, if you're willing.
I'm willing.
Well, you're listening to Newsmakers, noons every weekday. This is Brent D. Hart along with Dave Bourne. Stay with us. This is 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Yeah, I'm not going there with that one, Dave. Okay. This is Brent D. Hart along with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers at KYKN. Thank you for joining us with your news hour at the noon hour. We're talking to Kathy Goss, school board member and chair, and about a lot of topics having to do with our kids going to school and successes, failures, challenges, and public policy. We're talking about the bond measure that has not yet hit our property tax bills. And those will be sold. We talked about bonds, I think, last week. They'll be sold in sequences, and they'll gradually start hitting our property tax bill. The $617 million?
That's what it is.
Vast. And this isn't in a community that thinks we can't afford a $200 million bridge. That it's the cost for the third bridge in West, and I believe you live in West Salem, right?
No, I don't.
You know, right. I know South Salem. So
I go over there frequently.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other topic. Boundary changes. That's hot in the news. We're changing what schools feed into what, both elementary to middle school and middle school to high school.
Right.
I'm sure all the parents that want to know, is my kid going to have to go to a different school than their sibling, and how did you make the decision, and so forth.
Well, I'm not going to go through each one. We've got 60 buildings in this district, and that would try my brain to remember who's going where. But I can remind you there's almost 43,000 kids in this district. And that's a lot of kids and families that support them. And it is difficult, and it's hard on parents, and it's hard on kids to suddenly tell a parent your child is going somewhere else to school. And often they've become really accustomed to where they are, and that isn't an easy thing. But look at McKay, for instance. It's at about, it's over 2,000 now. It was built for 1,800 capacity. So we've just got to solve some of those problems. And boundary changes are a necessity.
Okay, so some people, what happens with Johnny's going to South and the boundary changes, and his little brother Bobby is no longer in the South District? Are they able to redirect so the siblings go together, or are they going to the new high school?
Well, oftentimes we aren't able to adjust to that degree, but we will try very hard to meet parents' needs. And what happens often is that two siblings have graduated from South, and the third sibling is coming up, and they also want to graduate from South or from the high school the rest of their family went to. And we're trying to meet those needs. But bear in mind, we have to keep a lot of things. We have to consider how far they're going to have to go, what busing will look like, and all these things. We also have to consider the culture of each building. And parents care about that. And that can make it hard. And there can be a racial issue. We have to avoid those. That's not our intent, to cause problems.
Well, these days, you can't tie your shoes without hitting into a racial issue, it seems like, in public policy in America. But
absolutely true.
If my son's going to Sprague or West, will they continue to go Sprague or West?
Not necessarily.
Really?
Yes.
So even though they've entered a school, they may, the boundary change would redirect them to the new.
Yes, it may very well do that. And that's why we've had a real problem trying to get the word out and trying to talk to parents about what's happening. And I would really encourage parents to talk to their principal. And there are meetings in each high school area for parents. And boy, it would be a good thing to find that. It will tell you where we've directed it, and you'll have a chance to tell us what's acceptable or unacceptable.
So families should talk to the principal of the school the kids are in, see what their situation is, and if they can also go to the district, right?
They can go to the district, or they can go to the district website. Okay. It's a wonderful way to figure out where you are going. Not everyone changes, obviously, but we have to find reasonable things to do to level out those overcrowded areas.
Does this create an incredible amount of mayhem in people requesting transfers of special circumstance? Like, for instance, say they're in the baccalaureate program, right, at at South, or they're in a special program at one of the high schools, because they all have special programs. Do they get to stay in that?
We're doing our best.
Okay.
There are...
Ouch. That sounds scary, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, there are vocational programs in our high schools. And each high school has at least four, and most of them many more. And we have CET out on Portland Road. Mm-hmm. And all those we're trying to accommodate.
Wow. Okay. So I imagine the principals in the district and even the superintendent's going to have a lot of community parent concern about all of this.
We call that feedback.
Feedback. Feedback. I love it. Public input. Did you have a lot of people participate as far as ahead of time parents coming to the school board?
Yeah, we did. And we formed committees of parents in each of those areas to help. Actually, they were one of the leading forces to help us decide what we could possibly do. Okay. We don't want to overburden people, but we have problems we've got to solve, too.
For some families, you know, it's a huge issue if they're two working parents or one parent and they're working in transportation and getting a kid from here to there. On the flip side, though, you know, teaching kids to adapt to changing things that were unforeseen, it's not a bad skill that people have to, I think we could use more in our culture of people learning how to adapt when things change. And sometimes it's nothing we can do about it, and we make the best of it. I think one of the best things that ever happened to me is moving to a completely different state and a completely different part of the country with zero friends when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And that was a difficult change, but a whole nother story entirely. All right. boundary changes. We talked a little bit about McKay.
Yeah.
McNary up north has some issues for growth as well.
It certainly does.
And
I'm
so
sure you've read that in the paper.
We have St. Edward's Lutheran Church, correct?
Yes.
They have land and you guys want it.
Yep, that's called eminent domain.
Potentially. Because you're trying to negotiate a deal to buy it.
We are and have been for quite some time.
Without fruitful resolution. And because St. Edward's Church also has their own expansion plans, right? And so they've had their own long-term plans, and this is our land, and this is what we want to do with it. That's going to be quite a conflict, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not easy.
No, it isn't. And it often does turn out to be eminent domain because there's no simple answer. you just hit the nail on the head. They want the land, and we need the land. And that leads to conflict. So the latest one that I've been involved in is the Kaiser Station one. Huh? If you recall, they ended up right at the last minute.
Yeah, and we mentioned last week, I think, Straub in West Salem.
Yeah, that too.
In a situation where the family didn't want to give up with the family farm.
Family farm, that's right.
So is there, and forgive me for being new to this, and maybe the listener as well, but is there another solution? Is there anywhere else that the school in a direction that they can grow without going into St. Edward's property?
Well,
or, and I'll give you a chance to fully answer that, is there an option to work collaboratively with the church to share parking or something? Because obviously they're going to have different parking needs at different times of day. Is there anything that, you know, everybody can end up with a win-win here?
Absolutely. And we have already offered our parking. On weekends, it's not busy for us, so we're happy if they come and use it. So that works pretty well because that's when they have people and we don't, and we're happy to share that.
Well, I know I would have a very tough decision as a elected decision maker to do exercise eminent domain. So this has been going on a while, and I hope it was a hard decision.
It was a very hard decision.
And what's the timeline for that?
Well, that depends on what proceeds from here on out. But for safety, we very much need to do that. And it's for safety more than it is expansion. We have on the entrance to McNary, we have buses. We have small buses. We have large buses. We have bicyclists. And we have walkers and kids coming in. And it's not a safe situation.
Okay. We're going to come back. We're talking to Kathy Goss. She is a public volunteer extraordinaire, now giving her expertise and knowledge to the school district of Salem-Keizer. 24J every day. We'll be going to be talking about the 24J every day initiative when we come back from the break. Thanks for joining us in your noon hour. This is Brent D. Hart along with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
I think this is probably the first time this record has been played on the air, and it's about to be released. Is this thing called ABC?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you agree? The Jackson Five.
And being married to an early childhood educator, I love the ABCs. I love hearing you know, ABCs, primary colors, learn to read, learn to count your numbers. Welcome back with Brent and Dave and Kathy Goss, school board member. And we're talking about things having to do with the school district for Salem-Keizer, 24J, known effectively as. And so many things to talk about. I'm still kind of stuck on the $600 million without a new school, going to expansions, going to deferred maintenance and things like that. I was actually doubtful that was going to pass. I know you were too. That's the real fear, is you go out and you show this great need, but you still can't get the public to support it or feel like they can afford it.
That's very true. We were fortunate to have all kinds of volunteers that saw the problems we had and wanted to help. And so I was so happy to see it go. I wasn't sure all along, but I was happy. It's a sincere need.
Yeah, we're starting to see the bond measure for the police facility show up on our property tax bills. And as they sell the bonds for the $617 million, we'll see those as well. And it's a 10-year bond release, is that right?
It is a 10-year bond. So we borrow money in chunks.
So it's important for people to know that this doesn't even go into the classroom per se. It doesn't go into teachers. It's not operational funds.
Absolutely not. So bond issue has to be capital money, and that's large expenses, roofs, air conditioning.
Yeah, HVAC, yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned something earlier. You hinted that might also include equipment like a computer. Is that true?
Sometimes it will. It depends on its connection with the building and what's acceptable.
Okay. I know my kids, their elementary school that they went 2 years ago, it was either freezing cold or really hot and hadn't been upgraded. It's one of the older ones, and it desperately needed new windows and all these things, and those things happened with the last bond measure. But okay, let's move on, Brent. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about the report card, about what's going on with the kids, absenteeism, dropout rate, graduation rate. Where can people find out more? There's a report card for the district itself, and there's a report card for each school, right?
That's correct.
So where do they go to find that?
Talk to your high school person or go online.
Or, any school has it, right?
Yeah.
Elementary
our
school?
Website's an excellent place to go. If you're completely stuck, call the district or call the principal for that area.
So the report card is going to tell us absentee rates or standardized testing rates, what kinds of things?
That's both those are included.
Demographics?
Yes. You can find that out, too. And again, to go to our website. It's just full of information for parents and for businesses that are interested. It's very informative.
So Salem-Keizer School's website or the principal of the school?
Either right? one.
Okay, to find that information.
And the new report card, I might add, is statewide. Comes out of Oregon Department of Education.
Oh, so they're maintaining it, and hopefully there'll be comparative stats.
Yes,
right.
There
how
will
we're doing
be.
Against others, and I know it's a big concern in Salem-Keizer and in the state as far as graduation rates.
That's absolutely true.
So, what do we do about that?
We're working hard, believe me, but Oregon is having trouble with absenteeism, not just Salem, but Oregon as a whole. And one of the things we're doing is starting the special initiative is 24J every day. And parents can really help out with that. They can have yard signs, they can have buttons, they can have all kinds of materials. But it's so important, especially in K through 6. And believe it or not, K and first grade are some of our worst absenteeism problems.
Wow. So this is an awareness campaign. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
So try to get everybody on board, row in the same direction, get your kids to school.
Absolutely. If I could do anything for a parent, it would be to urge that. If they start missing school and it just happens at an early age, that sets a pattern. That goes on all the way through high school.
Does this cross through ethnic and diversity lines?
It does.
Wow.
It does.
Why aren't they going to school? Where's the truant officer? How come they're not going to school?
We don't have such things anymore. I think we have very few of them. But every school is trying hard this year. Parents need to know that that adds up. From kindergarten through high school, pretty soon they've lost a year of instruction. And it doesn't put them on a good place or put them in a good place to go on to school.
All right. You may get mad at me. I'm going to say something. Going to get myself in trouble, Dave.
Again.
So
just don't get me in trouble. Okay.
You can just, I'm not going there. Okay. So maybe this is unfair, but I think the job of the school district is to provide the opportunity. The job of the kid and the parent is to get to school and take advantage of the opportunity. So I really don't see how it's 24J's responsibility or their fault if the kids don't go to school. I understand that we all love kids and you're trying to serve the kids and you want all families to set them up, but isn't there some responsibility for the people in the community? Are we responsible to make sure our kid gets dressed, has some breakfast, gets to school, and then they do their homework?
Right? Yeah.
So
sometimes.
Hopefully all the time. Anyway, in a sense, for me, my public policy viewpoint, I don't blame the school district about the graduation rate. And that's probably... I don't know. I'm probably an outlier there.
Yep.
No,
I agree with you. It's the parent's responsibility to get the child to school.
And if that doesn't happen, it falls to the school. And we have found in our research that relevancy of what we're teaching is a big thing. So the child is not
keeping
in
them engaged.
Pardon?
Keeping them engaged?
Yes, engaged in the material that they're learning is relevant to them.
I get that.
They can see a use for it. And some of that we can do our share too and need to because we're one of the states with the very lowest graduation rate. And we need to change that. Whether it's the parents, the school, both of them together will be the best.
It's really hard to change a culture of people, households, neighborhoods, demographics that are outside your control.
Yes. Absolutely.
And maybe sometimes outside your scope of influence. That's very, very hard.
That's
so
right.
More power to you for attempting. I hope everybody does send their kids to school and then holds them accountable. I remember, and you know, I'm a little bit older now. My kids are beyond college age. So, but I remember that axiom they talked about when we were kids. I'll put myself in your demographic, Kathy. But when we were kids, if you were in trouble, if you got in trouble in school, mm-hmm. you know, you were in trouble. If you got sideways with the teacher, you were in trouble. And nowadays it seems, well, if you're sideways with the teacher's in trouble.
Yeah, that's
right.
Wrong.
That's the cultural switch.
That's wrong.
My kid's problem. What are you doing wrong, teacher? My kid, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a tough one when they think that the kid and the family can do no wrong. But you come home and you did with a bad report card and your parents held you accountable.
Right.
Not always, but you know, that's
well,
how
some
I grew
parents
up.
Do now too.
Yeah, of course.
But not all parents. And as I mentioned, it's relevancy of the material we're teaching so the child can see that they will need to use that. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. They might want to. But it's also a matter of engagement. If a child can engage with at least one adult in that school, they're more likely to come.
I know I had an influential teacher.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In every school that I ever went to.
So. And it's one of the pluses and for proponents of high school athletics as well, because
oh, yeah.
they are engaged.
Yeah.
And I've seen some really good coaches who said, you know, well, you're not stepping on the field with those grades.
Yeah.
And those
right.
And for me, I had a number of them in my high school. My kids did as well. And it had to do with they're engaged and they want to be at school and they're forming relationships and they're forming bonds and they have more than one adult mentor. Totally get that. We're doing it right now with Career Tech.
Yes,
and we've talked a little bit about that. And we used to call it SHOP. Right,
or they still need
or
to
the
do
material,
that.
What do they call it? Material, whatever we called it. Anyway, now it's Career Tech, but it's a number of things that might launch you towards a career.
Absolutely,
people may not really resonate with, you know, the Civil War lessons, but they will really resonate with, hey, if you go from this, it'll be easier for you to jump into cosmetology career. Right into the trades career, right into being able to cook, right into being able to landscape, right into being the whole nine yards, automotive repair and all these things.
Let me remind you, if you have that experience through the school, you don't graduate from college maybe with a huge debt.
Right.
I mean, it's taught through the school. It's an option for kids. We give them certificates of achievement if they've gone through that. They can go to an employer and they're hireable. It's a wonderful program, and it's doing a good job.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to keep my feet out of the hot water right now, but I do think we need a cultural shift in America to value
accountability.
Accountability and to value the education and accountability for the kids. And mm-hmm. we need a cultural shift about how important it is and that we're going to prioritize it.
And we've really put a lot of time, I'll add in that, in discipline. And we have a new form of not directly with the child, but we have some new forms where we have a full department that's working on discipline, and they work with the kids. We have teams that go to the child sometimes, or the child comes into the pyramid system. And that's our effort to help, and I think it is helping.
Good. We have to do something about the graduation rate. It's embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about this every time we elect a new governor, right?
Right.
And Kitzhaber is claiming that remember him? Kitzhaber was claiming he was the education governor, but all these numbers kept spiraling in the wrong direction.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not just one person. We do have to all row together. And
Governor Kitzhaber was really hard in pushing college for every student, and it doesn't work that way.
No, you got to get them through the high school first.
And vocational education, and some children function better in vocational education and shouldn't be forced to go to college.
Yeah, you know, if you do 4 years of work versus 4 years of paying to go to college, and you add that together with how much work experience you got and the wages you make, you know, sometimes it's hard to make a case for college. So. All right, so hopefully we can do something. 24J every day, awareness for the families, how important it is to keep the kids there and drop down the absenteeism.
Absolutely.
Okay, and to increase the number of people who do not drop out and stay until graduation.
Right.
And I think employers probably play a part in this as well, in terms of asking and requiring, you know, we want you to have a high school diploma.
Absolutely. And parents can help. Parents can help by being interested. They can help by homework. They can help by going over that report card. And not in a disciplinary way particularly, but in a questionable way. You know, what's happening here? It seems like...
Engage in it.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
Take an interest in it. Yeah.
Yes.
And more than any time in history, we have so many different avenues in which to go get a high school diploma or GED. Mm-hmm. If you can do it online...
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, you can.
Do almost all of it online, and you can do it at alternative schools, mm-hmm. and you can do it in conjunction with a career tech.
And so. Charter schools, I might add. Charter schools are built because they appeal to different children, different families. And we have one that's very, we have more than one that's very successful. Depends on the child. You have to match the child with the school, but it offers another alternative for parents.
All right, we're talking to Kathy Goss, and Kathy has been serving our community for a long time, long educational background, and now she's on our school board. And we hope to have the school superintendent in, too, so we'd like to get both sides of this, the elected and volunteer leadership, and along with the staff person. And we're going to talk to her about her in just a little bit. So, but thank you for joining Newsmakers at the News Hour, Noon Hour. This is Brent D. Hart along with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Be stuck in your head all day long.
Thank you for that,
yeah,
Dave.
You're welcome.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent D. Hart with Dave Bourne, and education is a topic near and dear to my heart. I am the son of a teacher, and I am the husband to a early childhood educator extraordinaire, extremely talented. Any child and family would be lucky to have her as a teacher. So, and I think education is the ticket in America. And I love to see when immigrant groups come to America, people complain about some stereotypes. It even goes back into the Jewish culture. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy, I lived in a big city there for a while, and the stereotype of, oh, my son, the Jewish mother, and my son, the doctor, my son, the lawyer, right? Well, I'm like, more power to you. You know, that's valuing education. And they took pride in the education and the higher education they did and the achievement. I'm like, hey, if that's part of your culture, more power to you. And the same thing, and we've seen with some cultural groups, and they immigrate to America and they go, like, education.
True.
Near and dear to my heart. Kathy Goss, school board member, board chair. Right with us, we just have one segment left to talk about some things. Tell us a little bit about the staff, what's going on, the administration, the superintendent, and so forth. But remember, you're on the air when you're talking about the superintendent.
Oh, sure, I will remember that. I just want to remind you that we have most of Oregon's extraordinary educators in Salem-Keizer District. They work hard. They're good educators. All we have to do is help them out with this and that, with making enough room for kids in schools and giving them good materials to teach with and helping them when they need it. Now we come to the superintendent of schools. She's a local gal. She came out of Dallas, Willamine area, and she is terrific. So our school board is a policy board. We don't get down into the nitty-gritty every single teacher and every single child, you know, it's gotten too big for that. So we are a policy board, and we're operating with an excellent superintendent that is very outspoken. She's direct. She knows where we need to be, and she's working on getting us there. So I can't say enough.
Well, good. So you're a fan of our superintendent.
I absolutely
I know that
am.
One of your responsibilities on the board is to evaluate the superintendent and the job that she does. How does that happen?
That's absolutely true. So we've developed 12 executive limitations. And for a policy board, it states policies that we expect the superintendent to master and raise in some situations or whatever. And in the spring, we drag those out and we go over each one of them. And we collectively talk about what happened regarding those things. Some of them are financial, some academic, some everyday things. Mm-hmm. And we decide whether she's meeting all those 12 limitations. And this one, I think, does beautifully. Doesn't mean there aren't things that we can improve, but she's doing a good job.
Good. And just if to clarify for everybody, as a policy body, you guys are elected as a policy body. So there's things you can and can't do. And I know it's sometimes it's confusing to the public. Like you guys, you hire and fire the superintendent, presumably.
That's absolutely right.
But you don't, do you pick curriculum? Is it your job to pick the math curriculum, or is that the superintendent's job?
Well, it's pretty much the superintendent and the math teacher's job, but we do have it presented to us and all the options that we might choose, and we have some say-so in that.
And, of course, you have a lot of policy decisions making having to do with the budget, correct?
Absolutely
right. So the staff will bring you a proposed budget, but mm-hmm. your job is to set the policy and what you prioritize.
Yes.
And where it's going to be spent.
We have a large budget committee that are members of the public, also members of the board, and the superintendent presents a budget, and then we carefully look at it, and we recommend things that we would like to see in there. And, you know, you put all those people together, it's a little bit like herding cats, but yeah. we do end up with a good policy and good policy for all of us.
Well, as long as everybody involved in that feels as though they were heard, may not get their way, but they were heard, and it was a rational decision-making process. That's good. And there's a new communications person you said you wanted to talk about to try to promote this 24J everyday awareness effort.
That's true. She does an awful lot of things. Her name's Lillian Govis, and she's new this year to Salem Kaiser. And she's the one that you will hear that goes directly to the newspaper and says, we're going to close schools today. That's a snow day. Uh-huh. She goes and says, there's a reason we have police in the area or there's a danger in the area and there's a lockdown. So people need to know that. She's the one that notifies parents if we have sports teams going to Bend, again, a problem this
year. You gotta love that. You love spending money on that.
That was not a choice, and I hope parents realize that.
Okay.
We absolutely were told by the judge that's what we had to do.
Unbelievable. That sounds like we're talking about the Sports Association of Oregon, right?
Right.
That sounds like a club it'd be good to get out of if you can. Okay. Oh, I started to, I threw myself in a completely different topic there. But spending money, I think it's just insane to spend our money and put our kids at risk to travel to Eastern Oregon, or Central Oregon, I should say.
I can assure you every single school board member felt that same way. And parents galore thought that. But
we talking about a couple $100,000 more to spend more just for no real benefit and take our kids out of school and you know, have some safety issues.
Don't be shocked. That was $700,000 more for Salem Kaiser.
Oh, goodness. Now, we've got to go, but we'll have you back on. We're going to talk about education more. I wish we had some more time. But you're listening to Newsmakers. Our hour is up with Brent and Dave, KYKN, 1430. Salem is listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.